See is in town today.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Yodeling Boy, he's going to perform at the Knoxville Walmart.
He better stick with the hits and what got him famous. He better yodel. He better sing Lovesick Blues.
Where'd you go this week? Daddy's.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Mason Ramsey sticks to his roots, okay? He's not the kind of guy. He's not going Taylor Swift on
it. Yeah, that's exactly what his new single sounds like.
Well, he's trying to branch out.
Well, that's fine. He didn't stay to his roots. He branched out immediately. The first chance he got, he branched out.
On 1340 WKGN.
Did you hear how quick that happened, Ben Lee? He stuck to his roots and he branched out in the same sentence.
You can stick to your roots and still branch out. That's what trees do. I mean, that's what trees do.
Hour 2 coming at you from the Fan Run Studios. Let's get straight into Hour 2 headlines. Cody McClure, collision course right now!
Thanks, John.
Spit all over the microphone. Oops. Collision course is too much.
Sometimes it just takes everything out of you.
I know.
When the collision happens. President Donald Trump has invited the U.S. women's soccer team to the White House.
Okay. Already before they win?
Regardless.
I feel like they need to win before they get the invite.
No, it's regardless of whether they win the World Cup. After Megan Rapinoe's assertion that she is not going to the effing White House. Rapinoe, who has described herself as a walking protest to Trump's policies, made her recent comments about a potential White House visit to soccer magazine 8x8. I'm not going to the blank White House. No, I'm not. We're not going to be invited anyway. I doubt it. President Trump responded this morning with a series of tweets inviting the U.S. women's soccer team to the White House.
I feel like he invited them only to spite her.
President Trump tweeted, women's soccer player Megan Rapinoe just stated that she is not going to the effing White House if we win, other than the NBA, which now refuses to call owners owners. Parentheses, please explain that I just got criminal justice reform passed. Black unemployment is at the lowest level in our country's history, and the poverty index is also best number ever, in all caps, Trump says in parentheses. Leagues and teams love coming to the White House. I am a big fan of the American team and women's soccer. But Megan should win first before she talks. Finish the job. We have it.
But Megan should win first before she talks. You got to get the all caps talks on the win, caps, and, yeah. Win and talks.
We haven't yet invited Megan or the team, but I am now inviting the team, all caps, win or lose. Megan should never disrespect our country, capitalized, the White House, capitalized, or our flag, apparently flag is now capitalized, especially since so much has been done for her and the team. Be proud of the flag that you wear. The USA is doing great.
I feel like it sounded like you were capitalizing all the letters in those words, and it was really just, you know, the first letter, but it's okay.
Well, he capitalizes a lot of words that aren't supposed to be capitalized. I don't know
capitalizing country is supposed to be like patriotic, maybe.
I don't know if
country is not a proper noun.
Right, about proper nouns, yeah. And which words should be capitalized and which ones aren't.
I feel like these are just supposed to be patriotic, like country and flag. He's giving them extra meaning.
I guess so.
But Megan should win first before she talks. Finish the job.
But then he invited her to the White House.
All right.
Interesting that he just threw in the parentheses about black unemployment at its lowest level ever. And he President Trump apparently has a problem with the owners not being called owners anymore. So that's neat. We'll see if Megan Rapinoe takes up his offer if they win. But they got a tough one coming up against France. I don't know if they're going to win. When is that game happening? Does anybody know? Is anybody out there? Does anybody care? Friday, Cam says. At 3 p.m., Cam says.
Right when we go off the air.
Well, I know what we're doing Friday afternoon.
Watching soccer.
I was going to say probably leaving the studio around that time. I don't know. I mean, I might do it. Kawhi Leonard is not necessarily not going to the Lakers.
Okay.
The Lakers have believed for weeks, even before they acquired Anthony Davis, that they would factor into the Kawhi Leonard chase. It's been widely billed as a two-team race between the Clippers and Toronto, but the Lakers' chances to hush the skeptics is fast approaching, according to Mike Stein of the New York Times. Mark Stein of the New York Times. Although they're considered long shots, especially after acquiring Anthony Davis and having as little as $23 million remaining in cap space, the Lakers consider themselves in the running.
Apparently Dallas thinks they can get a meeting with him too. They think they can get Kawhi. We'll see.
Dallas. I would hate for him to go to Dallas.
Me too.
Oh, Dirk.
Dallas is rising on the top of my hate list, too.
Can't root for Dallas without Dirk.
Dallas and their whole kind of racist approach of we hate AAU basketball, we like our Europeans who have more fundamentals, even though, like...
Is that racist? If they just prefer fundamentals?
I mean, it's kind of racist to assume that AAU players can't... that don't have fundamentals. Like, I feel like LeBron James played AAU and he came in with pretty good fundamentals. I feel like, I mean... Kevin Durant was pretty fundamentally sound.
I don't see how that's racist. Because all the European players are white.
Yeah, and most of the AAU players are black, and you're assuming that they just have athleticism and can't fundamentally play basketball. That's kind of a dog whistle.
I see.
Yeah. You're assuming that they aren't fundamentally sound because they just play their and-one pickup street
it's
ball.
It's kind of the whole thing with like black quarterbacks versus white quarterbacks.
It's a dog whistle.
Yeah.
Only you can only hear it with the trained ear, but it's there.
Yeah, it
feels a little racist, and I hope that NBA stars don't want to go play for Mark Cuban after he said stuff like that. Just let him build his little Euro team over there with
Luka and
Porzingis, and just let them do their thing over there.
But aren't the white guys typically labeled as not being as athletic?
Like white American players, or
racist. Like, hey, the white guys are in.
Are you doing the whole "why don't we have white entertainment television"?
No, like, that is not what I'm doing.
Why don't we have WET here?
Like, that is not what I'm doing. But I'm saying.
No, I mean it is.
We do the white kids that come in at the end of the game. Like, oh, they're putting the white guys in. You know what I mean?
Stereotypes work both ways.
I'm not doing the White History Month thing. But I'm saying, typically, a lot of times on the teams, the white guys are not quite as athletic. That's not to say they're better fundamentally. It's saying, a lot of times they're not as athletic, though.
Well, yeah.
I mean, maybe it's not a white-black thing. Maybe it's a European thing. Like, the Europeans have better fundamentals, you know, than just American players in general.
If that's the case, I feel like we'd have more European players in the NBA.
We're getting quite a few.
I mean, yeah, but I mean...
Did you look down the awards list?
We talked about the liberal media trying to expand the global appeal.
What was it? Like,
four of the five main awards went to foreigners.
Yeah, wasn't
it? We have to make American basketball great again, all right? Enough outsourcing our awards to the globalists and trying to expand. Take care of our own people first. James Harden should have won MVP. 36 points and 7 assists. That hadn't been done ever.
We're just going to have to start building a wall around the entire country. Build one on the East Coast so those European ships can't roll in.
That's right.
Of course, they still have planes.
Yeah, that'd be a little... It's a flaw in your plan, but...
A little bit.
More background checks. Can you shoot three-pointers? Yes? Well, you're not allowed in the NBA. We only want the big darkos of the world. Bring in those European players that... make us feel better about ourselves. Like, they're not good, and we'll say, yeah, see, these Europeans just can't play in the league. Give us more of those guys. Not the freaks like Giannis.
Well, anyway, the Lakers are still not ruling out Kawhi. They think they'll be in the mix. The Lakers expect to factor in for Kawhi. We'll see what happens. Oklahoma State made a significant move in the basketball recruiting world today. They hired the older brother of the number 2 ranked rising senior prospect, Cade Cunningham.
Okay, what does Cade Cunningham play?
Cade Cunningham does not play anything.
Oh, what does his brother play?
His brother, Cannon Cunningham.
Ooh, what a name that is.
Cannon Cunningham. He sounds like a three-point shooter. He's a 6'7 point guard from Texas.
Ooh.
Who plays at Montverde Academy in Florida.
Okay.
So he's from Texas, plays in Florida.
I did not expect them to be more... So many Cannon Cunninghams. I'm trying to look up this guy's profile.
Cannon Cunningham. Anyway, so he rose to the number two.
No, Cade is Cade's the player. Cade's the brother. How do you not read the internet better? Cade is the brother. Cade's the brother who plays. Cannon is the brother who got hired. Correct?
Yes, Cannon is older.
Yeah.
Cannon played.
Because I'm sitting here looking up Cannon Cunningham, and there's like, from SMU? He's already at SMU.
Cannon played at SMU from 2011 to 2015.
Because I was like, how the hell is there more than one Cannon Cunningham who plays basketball? All right, so Cade is the five-star.
What a dumb thing for you to think there was that many Cannon Cunninghams.
Well, that's what raised my little red flags here. My antennas went up. Cody's reading the internet wrong again. Cody's reading the internet wrong again.
There's a lot of they all start with a C, okay?
Cade Cunningham is a 6'6. You said point guard, they call him a combo guard, whatever.
6'7.
6'7, Arlington, Texas, number three player in the country in the upcoming 2020 class.
I'm seeing 6'7 point guard, number two player in the country.
Okay, well, I'm just looking at 247's profile of him.
They just take what ESPN does and go a little different, I guess.
Yeah, they have three and they have him listed at 6'6". So he's probably 6'7 by now.
I think they just copy ESPN's work and then just put, like, now let's put 6'7 instead of 6'6".
So you go ESPN as the go-to recruiting analyst.
I don't know. One of them copies the other one.
But Oklahoma State, yeah. There's 13 crystal ball predictions in, and he has 13 going to Oklahoma State.
Yeah. So his brother, Cade's brother, Cannon, has just been hired at Oklahoma State.
Wonder what his salary is. Can we get a salary? Can we get a Freedom of Information Act? Can somebody in Texas or Oklahoma, I guess, get this figured out? Is it more than what these guys are getting paid to go play in New Zealand? Because if not, if I'm Cade Cunningham, I'm going to play in New Zealand. Sorry, bro.
Cannon's getting paid $6.5 million a year, but four of that will go to Cade.
That doesn't seem factually correct. That seems like sarcasm.
That was just me lying on the microphone.
Okay, just making sure the audience was aware.
So anyway, we'll see if he ends up at Oklahoma State. Good move by Oklahoma State, huh?
I mean, if it works.
If not, maybe they'll fire him. Maybe that was his real job. He was brought in to bring his brother there. Jack Del Rio can't believe the Jaguars drafted Blaine Gabbert. Del Rio coached in Jacksonville from 2003 to 2011. You may remember him. He was not a first rounder, Del Rio says.
No,
Blaine
no,
Gabbert.
No, he wasn't. Or a second rounder or a third.
Apparently, he had no idea the Jags were getting ready to draft Blaine Gabbert, and he did not agree with the decision. In fact, I left to go get something to eat because our pick wasn't for much longer in the draft. I go get something to eat, and then I'm sitting there filling my plate thinking, oh, great, we got a couple more hours till we pick. Then I see the Jaguars are on the clock. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I walk into the draft room, and I could see it on the faces of the people in the room. They know how uncomfortable that was and how wrong it was. We had decided to draft Blaine Gabbert.
Did they trade up to get Gabbert? Is that what happened there?
Yes.
Okay.
He wasn't a guy to trade and go up to get him. That was not part of coaching. It was not part of me. That was my first indication that my time in Jacksonville was running short.
Yeah.
So Jack Del Rio says he was stunned.
Yeah, that checks out.
At the Blaine Gabbert draft pick.
That checks out.
He ended up with the Titans, didn't he?
Blaine Gabbert?
Yeah.
As a backup, yeah.
Yeah.
He is gone now, but yeah.
Is he gone from everywhere now?
I haven't seen anyone sign him. He's who I had to go watch last year in week 17. He started that game. Because Mariota was hurt.
Against the Colts?
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. Apparently he got signed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is now backing up Jameis Winston. So he's not out of the league. Game more headlines. Good batch of headlines. Let's move on. Let's talk about that NCAA stuff next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Some would call it ball luck that the NCAA is now reportedly cracking down on transfers. Going to make it tougher for transfers to get immediate eligibility. If you are a Tennessee fan, you are probably aware that Tennessee is currently waiting on waivers for two players. Solomon and Gibbs. This whole time people have said that Solomon more likely than Gibbs to get immediate eligibility. Neither of them have gotten that just yet. I would say that Solomon is a big part of the 2019 plans, right? Like, Tennessee's defensive line, unproven to say the least. Reshuffling. How would you describe Tennessee's defensive line situation, Cody?
Atrocious.
Well, that's not really what I was going for. I just mean, like, what stage do you think they're in? Rebuilding, retooling, complete makeover, atrocious?
Stage of atrocity.
Stage of atrocity?
I'm really, 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 really worried.
Really.
Really worried about our defensive line. That, I think, is the glaring weak spot on this team.
Am I alone in saying that I have more confidence in our defensive line than you? Because I believe our defensive line was pretty bad last year, and it's one of those things I feel like can only get better.
Or it could stay bad. It doesn't.
It could stay bad. I guess that is the. It doesn't have to get better. Okay, that's a fair rebuttal.
Well, we have seen teams run all over us now for 2 years.
Yeah, like what's new? You kicked me in the jaw a couple times. Like I'm ready for
it again.
I'm ready for it this time. The third kick, is it gonna hurt? I mean, it's still gonna hurt, but I'm used to it.
It's gonna hurt. It's
still gonna hurt, but I'm used to it. Like. We're really good on 3 years straight. In 2016, we couldn't stop anybody from running on us either. And that hasn't stopped. We don't really get after the quarterback very often.
It's still going to hurt. Najee Harris, untouched, 74 yards.
Yes, sirree.
Damarian Crockett, again. He's got 214 yards
and
today.
And there's another kick to the jaw.
It's still going to hurt. but, you know, I mean, maybe. I don't know if it's a good thing to lose the guys that were Butch's guys and just replenish them. I feel like we were at least experienced on the D-line last year. But, I mean, you got to say, though, we did suck, didn't we? Despite having all those seniors up there. So maybe those guys just sucked.
I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it. So, like, when you say you're terrified of the defensive line, like, I'm kind of like, you know what? I don't want to call it optimistic because I don't think it's going to be a good offense, a good SEC defensive line, but I do think it'll be better. I think you'll have some speed out on the outside. I think Darrell Taylor can get after the quarterback in certain situations. And I think some of these young guys, like, I want to see what Corvarius Crouch can do on the outside. Let's let him get after the quarterback. But either way, up the middle, you got the Junkyard Dog. You still got Emmett Gooden. But outside of that, you're like, okay, we need some extra bodies. And this Aubrey Solomon guy, who transferred down from Michigan, is hopefully going to be an extra body. You know, he's a former five-star. He's someone that you look at as definitely someone who would be an upgrade, as someone who can be a big body, and basically someone that you would rather have than not have this year, correct?
Correct.
Well, as Tennessee is waiting on that judgment, the news comes out that the NCAA is expected to adjust guidelines allowing transfers immediately to be eligible. or immediate eligibility. How long has this lasted where the NCAA was trying to be nice to transfers? Has it just been a year?
Yeah, it hasn't been very long.
I mean, pretty much like right around the time last year when Brandon Kennedy got the waiver to play, right? Like that's kind of whenever this was at its initial beginning. Brandon Kennedy gets to transfer inside the SEC. Now, granted, that was, you know, grad transfers, but still.
Yeah, because he was the first one, right?
He was the grad transfer. And then the NCAA said, you know what, we're going to try to be nicer to all transfers. This is kind of another one of our efforts to act like we care about the players without actually paying them. You can go play football wherever you want.
And now they've got too much paperwork.
This council is scheduled to meet Wednesday. The new guidelines are not rules, but essentially a set of directions that the committee will follow. They are thought to be a response to a significant increase in the number of waiver requests.
Well, what did they expect to happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
When they decided to loosen up their hold on it. Of course there's an increase in the number of waiver requests. That's what they allowed.
Well, I think the issue so far is that people are upset at the inconsistency. If you have a big-time quarterback wanting to go to Michigan, a.k.a. Shea Patterson, immediately cleared. Go ahead. Go for it. If you are that tight end who wants to go from Georgia to Illinois, you get told no. Remember that player from Coastal Carolina who left as a starter who tried to go to Virginia Tech? And they're like, no, you can't go do that either. And people are just now looking at like, okay, this seems inconsistent. You let Tate Martell transfer from Ohio State to Miami and be eligible.
You're telling me the NCAA is doing something that's inconsistent?
Yeah. Hmm. But, I mean, that's the issue is that everyone's pointing out the inconsistencies.
Never would have imagined that happening.
So now they just want the guidelines to kind of be more clear. They're making players jump through some actual hoops. The updated language on the guideline says that they must have documented, extenuating, extraordinary, and mitigating circumstances outside of the athlete's control that directly impacts the health, safety, or well-being of the student. If you have been told that you're losing your scholarship, you have to get that in writing from the athletic department, from the school you're leaving. You have to get the AD to sign off on that you've been recruited over. And that they're taking your scholarship. You have to be able to prove things now. So if you get here and there's a new coach or your coach is trying to run you off, in the past you had been able to just kind of say, okay, here's what's happening, and the NCAA was like, okay, cool. But now you have to get that athletic department to sign off on that, which may be tough and may be tricky and may lead to some athletic departments not – playing ball with the athlete, right? Like not trying to help him on the way out. In cases where athletes try to transfer within 100 miles of their home due to injury or illness of a family member or because of a pregnancy. I didn't know you could do that for pregnancy. It's like if you knock up somebody, you get to transfer back.
Oh, wow. That's what we need to start doing. Just getting guys to knock up women here.
Just have our own little version of the Handmaid's Tale.
What's that?
It's a TV show.
I haven't seen it. I've heard of it. I guess it's pretty popular.
I think it's critically acclaimed. I have only watched like 10 minutes of it, but my girlfriend has. And I think the premise is that there are only a handful of women left in society who can have babies.
Oh, that's neat.
So they're like making them basically just pop out babies to everybody. I think that's kind of the premise of it. I might be off, but I think that's it.
To save society.
Yeah. And they're being forced to, you know, repopulate the earth. I think that's what the premise of it is. So you want our own little version of that. Hey, five star who's fed up at USC? Come on.
I don't know if we should just have women that are.
That seems a little despicable. Yeah, that seems like we couldn't really push that on them.
I mean, unless if they sign off on it, you know, like they're cool with it. Yeah, I guess.
Is that receiving improper benefits? Like, if you're not a player, could could the school be paying? I mean, I know we got into the trouble with that whole Orange Navy thing.
What
the
happens?
Hostesses situation.
What I'm wondering is what happens with the babies. I think Tennessee's just got to take care of those babies for life, right?
I feel like that really isn't an improper benefit. Set up a trust for the baby, and who knows, maybe if the baby is
big-time donors.
Good 15 or 16 years from now, you can be in the running for them.
Do we get big-time donors to adopt the babies?
I kind of feel like this idea might be better than our church idea yesterday.
When you think about it, if the NCAA is going to give us a loophole.
Like, I don't know what you guys are doing in radio land or podcast land or live stream land, but me and Cody here are trying to fix the program, and we've come up with two pretty good ideas back-to-back days. We're either going to start a church with Jack Jesus and pump our guys full of HGH, or we're going to Handmaid's Tale some young college girls.
They have to sign so many waivers.
Yeah, we're not forcing them. This is this is a very voluntary program, as is our church. We're not forcing anybody. We don't want to get accused of being a cult or sex trafficking or anything like that. This is voluntary. We're just opening the door, you know.
If you want to do it, if you think you have, you know, you're good at birthing babies.
Now, there's going to be a tryout process. Not everyone who signs up gets to be in. We got to check out the hips. How many babies could she pop out? Can she have any?
Got to have
we'll
a few practice
out.
Sessions.
Nah, now we got creepy.
You got to have tryouts. You said you got to have tryouts.
That's not what I meant. You just went full casting couch.
If we're going to do it, we got to know it's going to work.
Now we're in trouble.
We got to know it's going to work.
I was just going to say that if you transfer within 100 miles of the radius of your home due to injury or illness to an immediate family member or because of a pregnancy, the NCAA now will make you fill out all this paperwork, including, quote, a treatment plan detailing the student-athlete's caregiving responsibilities. So basically, you can't just come home to help mom and pops or to be closer to them as they get older and sicker. You have to apparently detail, are you actually going to help them? Are you actually going to be there to try to help give care?
There's ways around this. It's basically like the JAG program that, you know, you have to prove you're working a job and not just going home and drinking every day.
Sure. This number from this article kind of surprised me.
What number?
I'm going to give it to you.
What's it about?
We talk a lot about the transfer portal. We talk about a lot of these immediate waivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you believe me if I told you that the approval percentage of people who are looking for waivers to become immediately eligible, would you believe me if I told you it rose by 38%?
No.
Why not? Too high?
I don't know. I just thought maybe you're trying to trick me with that number.
Well, you're on to me because it actually dropped 2%.
Okay.
There's actually 2% less of immediate waiver approvals than there has been the last 4 years.
So what's the problem?
Yeah, I don't know.
If they're still not approving them, then nothing has changed.
I think it's just there's been a lot more requests.
The volume is higher.
The volume is higher. That's the issue. Not the percentage, just the...
So they've approved more players.
But just at a lower percentage.
Right. They've approved 40 out of 300 instead of 5 out of 10.
Yeah, but it's 68%, so that's more like, you know, 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Versus, you know.
So the number of players approved is higher, but the percentage is actually lower,
yeah.
Well, maybe they need bigger staffs. I mean, do we think – is that the problem? There's just too much going on, too much paperwork?
Are you looking for a job?
No, not really. But I was just thinking maybe they have too much volume, too much paperwork. Otherwise, what's the problem?
I don't think they want 250 people in the transfer portal. I think that's the issue.
But why?
And again, they're getting caught out for being inconsistent. It's like they're approving.
Just approve them all.
They're approving all the big-time schools and then getting tough with the Illinois of the world.
And that's their problem for being the inconsistent jerks that they've always been. Approve all of them. If a guy wants to go somewhere, he should be able to go. Why does the reason have to matter? You know, why does his mother have to be dying? Why does his
girlfriend
have to be pregnant? Well, I'm saying, why does that have to be? Why don't they just let everybody go? Just let if a guy wants to leave, let him leave. Let him go wherever he wants.
I mean, I think they're terrified of the whole idea that they're becoming free agency. And when you have people like Nick Saban bitching and complaining about it, like
what the hell with Nick Saban?
Well, that's kind of their guy, you know.
Well, if he's got a problem with it, then you know what? He can retire.
Yeah, Nick.
That dirty
old
hag.
Problem with it? Retire.
The dirty old hag, Nick Saban, can retire.
Get out of here, Nick.
If you can't get with the new transfer portal, get the hell out of our sport.
Just retire, old man. You know where you don't have to worry about the transfer portal? The NFL, you coward. Go to the NFL.
Yeah.
Now if he leaves, he's running from Dabo. Now he's really boxed in. He's a coward either way.
He's got to just stay till he dies at this point.
Either he stays and he's scared of the NFL, or he leaves and he's scared of Dabo. Checkmate.
If I had a job with the NCAA, I'd approve Solomon and Gibbs immediately.
That's true.
I would.
At least Solomon.
I'd approve. If I was hired tomorrow, I'd approve him tomorrow.
I want to take this time to welcome on our new sponsor, Waste Connections of Tennessee. Had a couple people tell me already they've made the switch. Waste Connections is offering our listeners a special introductory rate. Maybe I'll learn how to say introductory before the end of this partnership 3 months from now. But use the promo code FANRUN. That's all one word, FANRUN, when you call them. And make the switch today, 865-522-8161. 865, that's the area code, dummies. Vol. 522-8161, Waste Connections of Tennessee, for your waste removal, commercial, residential. They do trash. They do recycling. You hear about the recycling all the time. They are a proud partner of the Good Sports Always Recycle program that you hear about in Neyland Stadium. We'll be back on the other side. While we're talking a little recruiting, we talked about Art Gilbert, the guy down from Marietta, listed as the number one athlete in the nation. He likes Tennessee. He's 6'5", 250 pounds. He's a monster. He likes Tennessee, and Tennessee has a chance to get him, a guy who, you know, is familiar with Harrison Bailey. Which, by the way, we haven't even mentioned Harrison Bailey. Shout out to him. Harrison Bailey showed out. Did they have their, was it the opening yesterday? You know, the quarterback camps and stuff they have?
Nah. I watched Khalil McKenzie show out in that one time.
Yeah, but he won. Didn't he win at the opening yesterday? Is he the best quarterback there? So, I mean, he might be getting a five-star rating pretty soon. Which, by the way, Haynes King, the other quarterback we're in on, apparently is making his decision today. So, something to keep an eye on. Apparently, Texas A&M has started firing up, trying to talk to other quarterbacks because they don't feel very good about their opportunity with Haynes King. So, just something to keep an eye on. Yeah, Harrison Bailey won a quarterback MVP at the big rivals camp. But, all right, Gilbert. The number two player in the state of Georgia, the number one athlete in the country. Tennessee has a good chance to land him because apparently they are letting the 6'5", 250-pound freak, apparently they're really trying to sell him on the idea, Cody, that he can come here and play wide receiver. Thoughts on 6'5½, 250-pound tight end coming out here to play wide receiver? You think that would work in the SEC, or do you think that's just a recruiting tactic to try to get him here, and then when he gets here, like, yeah, we'll split you out every now and then, but you're really just a tight end, buddy?
No.
No?
No. I mean, yeah, I mean.
Not going to work?
Well, you know, that number one prospect, that's kind of what he is. He's a tight end. He's like 6'7", 248. Not Gilbert, but that other guy from
Darnell
Vegas.
Washington.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I think he's going to.
He's a legit tight end.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he a tight end or is he a defensive end? Like,
I think he's a tight end because he plays both ways.
Yeah, but
in
at 6'7½, 6'7½, that guy's a monster.
No, I think he's going to be a tight end.
Do you think he's going to make more money playing tight end, or do you think he probably should have been trying to work on his jump shot and play power forward? He feels like he should have been trying to play power forward.
I mean, he could have been either one. I think they're recruiting him as a tight end, though.
Maybe that's going to be our new method, is we're just going to try to get down to the goal line and throw nothing but jump balls.
I'm fine with that.
We'll put Darnell Washington at tight end, and then we'll put Arik Gilbert on the outside of him, and on the other side, good luck.
Except we're not going to get Darnell Washington.
Harrison Bailey said we're going to. Harrison Bailey was asked, you know, there was a thing about, you know, I believe it was 247 who did a thing on, like, what schools, like, who are the next five stars to commit to where, and Harrison Bailey, the quarterback, said he thinks Tennessee is going to get Darnell Washington soon. Now we'll see.
When did he say that?
Oh, it was this weekend.
No.
It was right after we talked about him, so maybe it was like Friday, but it was recently.
So he's actively trying to help with that, I assume?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we need to keep Chaney away from this Haynes King kid. We need to make sure Harrison Bailey's happy.
We need to keep Chaney away from Darnell Washington and Arik Gilbert. They're already 250 pounds. We need to keep Chaney hanging out with the offensive linemen, getting them fatter. 250 as a tight end, you're getting close to an offensive tackle at that point. Let's keep Chaney away from them, too.
Hey, I'm fine with having a big – do it like the old Stanford way, you know. Just have a guy that's about 280. Yeah, he's a tight end, but really he's a right tackle. He's got good hands, though. I mean, it's basically the same position.
I feel like we could have like Antonio Gates and Gronkowski out there. Let's keep them athletic and fast. Let's maybe not make them offensive linemen. Let's keep them at tight end and wide receiver.
Boy, if we get those two guys,
that'd be so fun.
You talk about a future. Talk about a goal line advantage.
That'd be so fun.
What was that play that we used to run on the NCAA games? It's like the double fade route. You know what I'm talking about? I can't remember the name of the play, but that's what it is. It's basically you have two tight ends. You just throw up a fade.
I didn't believe in the fade route.
I think it's just called goal line fade.
Yeah, I didn't believe in the fade route.
Just line up with three tight ends every play. Dominic Wood Anderson, Washington.
Nah, Dominic Wood Anderson. He doesn't belong in this conversation. He doesn't belong in this conversation.
He'll be done. These guys will come right in and take his spot.
Yeah.
And he's good, too. He'll find a place. Put him at fullback.
I kind of like the idea of having this guy just line up on the outside. I would love to have both these guys just here catching passes. Just keep him away from Chaney.
I mean, if they got hands.
I mean, could you not take like 15 pounds off Gilbert, put him on the outside, be decent?
I don't want him to lose the 15 pounds. Just put him out there.
Just let him be massive.
Let's watch a 5'10", 6-foot cornerback try to guard him.
That's true.
You ain't got to run around him if he just jumps over you. Like, you don't need to lose any weight. Just put him out there.
Yeah, and plus, you got to think about Ramel Keaton having – is it Ramel Keaton or who am I thinking of? The guy from LSU?
That's
Rakeem Jarrett.
Jarrett, that's who I'm thinking of. You got to think about him. He'll be a matchup problem too.
I kept telling myself I was done following recruiting, but I found myself, you know, getting sucked in on a couple of these guys. And now I'm all in on the scenario where we have Washington and – Gilbert catching passes. I'm all in on that scenario.
And if they're not open over the middle, Rakeem Jarrett on the outside, he's basically AJ Green out there.
They're going to be open across the middle. this is the new version of tight end that Gronkowski has created. These guys are from the same breed as him.
And yeah, you really can't count out Ramel Keaton cuz he's going to be good too.
Rakeem Jarrett, right?
Well, Ramel's already on the team.
Oh, Ramel, he is a receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's already on the team.
Maybe we'll have a good quarterback in a couple years. I found myself getting excited for football again, even to the point where I'm looking at recruiting.
Yeah, we're going to be tough to beat in about 4 or 5 years.
Even as we are still 25th in the country.
Yeah, I tell you what, man. 6-7 years from now, we are going to be a force to be reckoned with. In the East, for sure.
By then, Cody will be a Miami Dolphins fan. Yeah.
We're going to lock down this state. Vanderbilt will not be beating us down in at least five, 6 years.
Okay.
We're going to be something again.
All right.
Yeah,
we got a joke maker over here.
Going to own this state. MTSU, not even going to be able to stay within 2 touchdowns.
All those people talking about how Memphis is actually better, they'll be so stupid.
Yeah.
They will look dumb as they try to line up against Darnell Washington and Arik Gilbert.
Ain't got no football Penny Hardaway.
Yeah. Jeremy Pruitt, that's the football Penny Hardaway.
I guarantee you we'll be beating them by double digits.
Okay.
We'll be beating them by 10 to 17 points. I guarantee it.
All right. Just go to break, Ben. Talk about this segment. I feel like whenever Ben plays your music coming in, you get to pick. So, what do you want to do? You talk about something while I watch Stephen A. Smith's A-list, his top five free agency dream scenarios.
I guess I can cut into my headlines here.
Jimmy Butler stays in Philadelphia at number five. I like the report that just came out. Jimmy Butler, the Houston Rockets want to go after Jimmy Butler.
I thought you wanted me to pick.
Nah,
something.
I was just stalling.
If you're I was actually going to go NBA, but
if
okay.
You're going to cut into headlines, I feel like it's going to diminish headlines, and we need to protect the top of the hour. We'll just let Stephen A. Smith do the work for us. Butler stays in Philly. I don't think that's a good dream scenario. Number four, Kawhi to the Clippers. What are your thoughts there? Is Kawhi to the Clippers a dream scenario for you, Cody?
No.
It would make Los Angeles the headquarters of the NBA world.
This guy.
I know.
This guy finds a Clippers jersey in his closet, and now he's a Clippers fan.
I don't think you are in any position to throw stones at someone for randomly rooting for
a basketball
team. I'll throw
stones whoever I want to throw stones at.
Ben Lee is a big Clippers fan, as far as I know.
Hey, he's one of the heavier ones, probably.
How do you feel about Kawhi to the Clippers, Cody?
I think it's stupid. I think he's going to go to the Lakers.
Been with him a whole lot.
You just said you didn't want KD to go to the Lakers because that would mean LeBron wasn't the reason why. Newsflash.
Kawhi's a team player.
Newsflash. Kawhi just showed that he's the man. He's more of a threat to LeBron than KD is.
No, Kawhi's a team guy. Kawhi and LeBron could get along. Durant would want to steal the show. Durant would start pouting and, I want this to be my team.
Number three, Kemba to the Sixers. How do we feel about Kemba to
the
Sixers?
Nobody cares.
Yeah, no one really cares about Kemba to the Sixers. What are you going to do with Ben Simmons at that point? Play him off the ball?
Nobody
can't
cares
shoot.
About the racist Sixers.
I don't understand why they're racist. How did the Sixers become racist?
They're
just Philadelphia?
Racist. They're racist.
Okay.
We know people from Philly that are racist.
We do? I don't know any.
I do.
I don't really think I know anybody from Philly.
I know plenty.
Number two, Klay Thompson to the Lakers. How do we feel about that for a dream scenario?
Now, I'd take it. Not as good as I feel about Kawhi to the Lakers, but I'll take it.
He has a torn ACL.
Yes, he does. It'll get better eventually.
Klay to the Lakers will be fun. Number one, the dream scenario, KD and Kyrie to the Knicks. That's what you wanted.
I would like to see that.
So that's your number one dream scenario?
How about this? KD and Kyrie to the Knicks, LeBron and Anthony Davis with the Lakers and maybe a third star, and you get Knicks-Lakers battling it out. New York versus L.A., the way it should be.
Well, the problem is Durant will be out this upcoming year. So we have to wait 2 years, and at that point, who knows? LeBron's going to be old.
Maybe we find out that Durant is just able to heal quicker than everyone else.
You think he's just going to bounce back from that torn Achilles really quick?
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
I liked the idea that came out yesterday that the Houston Rockets are really wanting to make a move for Jimmy Butler, who is from Houston. I love it just because if you – didn't think that Chris Paul and James Harden hated each other enough. Let's drop in Jimmy Butler, one of the more explosive personalities in the league.
That should help.
Let's put those three guys together who all want the ball, who all hate their teammates. Let's let them all play together.
How do you fix things in Houston? Jimmy Butler. That should be good. That's rich.
Seems like a great idea, and that one that can never go wrong.
Houston's done. They're finished. Their window has closed.
That's the thing is, well, Chris Paul is basically not going anywhere. No one's going to trade for him. They've been the second best team in the West the last, two or three years.
Not anymore, baby. Not anymore.
Maybe not anymore, although them getting Jimmy Butler wouldn't make them more fun. Although to get Jimmy Butler, they'd have to really trade the rest of their pieces. They'd have to get rid of Capella and Eric Gordon and maybe even P.J. Tucker. But all that would be well worth it. Maybe not losing P.J. Tucker. I'd really try hard to keep him. But
if these guys could just get along as a team, and put their egos aside, maybe they could do something special. Yeah. But they won't.
Yeah.
They won't. And you know what? James Harden's a choker anyway. That's what I'll always remember him for. Just gagging, being choked to death.
Well, that's what makes it make basketball sense, is because Jimmy Butler is the closer. And we always talk about James Harden choking. Jimmy Butler could be the closer there.
Yeah, you got a little lightheaded there.
The problem would be the story coming out like midway through the season of Butler busting up the starters with the backups and saying that they need him to win a playoff series, and actually making Harden like walk off the court or something.
Sorry, man. I looked down at my phone. That was my fault. What'd you say?
Never mind.
Sorry.
Probably need to go to break anyways.
I was expecting you guys to be able to wrap it up. I'm sorry. I was looking down before you started talking.
You're expecting an NBA segment for me and Cody to finish this out.
Fair point. I got distracted.
You were expecting an NBA segment for me and Cody to just wrap this up.
You get distracted a lot.
I look up. I see Cody just looking at Ben, watching
just
Ben
laughing.
Drown.
Just laughing as my face is getting red.
I look at Ben, and Ben's face is bright, as red as your Coca-Cola can, and I'm just like, you know what? I'll let you down there. I saw the clock. I was getting ready. Did you know Bitcoin's all the way up to a 13,473? Bitcoin's rallying. I'm looking like, how the hell did Bitcoin get back up so high? Why didn't I buy back in when it was 3,000? So, please, give me your point one more time.
I was just talking about how Jimmy Butler would try to bust up the starters with the backups again and then make a comment to James Harden about choking. And then make him like walk off the court in practice.
Yeah, they would probably end up getting in a fist fight. Bitcoin, man, what a resurgence. It's up 43% the last 7 days.
Hashtag ad.
I root for Bitcoin to go down. I don't want to see people get rich off of Bitcoin, because it's one of those things where I could have gotten rich off of it, and I mean everyone could have bought into it. So I don't want other people to be happy.
If you got Cash App, you can buy in on the app.
Didn't you buy in $25?
At one point.
But you gave up on it?
I lost $5 in the deal.
That $25 could have been like $500 right now.
Yeah.
So you can do it on the Cash App app?
Yeah. There's a spot to click over to Bitcoin.
I feel like now is a bad time to buy because it's already up at 13,000, but hell, it might just keep going. I don't know. I feel like it's going to crash, and I'm hoping it crashes.
I think we should get in at some point.
I feel like it's too late. We should have got in when it was like 3,000. That's my point.
I should have kept that 25 again, in there. Right?
That's why I was looking up. I mean, maybe.
Why don't we just get into the stock market?
We're not that smart.
You don't have to be smart. It's all good. It's just gambling. It's all luck. You never watched Wolf of Wall Street?
Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck.